If you buy your food only from the grocery store, you're reasonably assured of some level of food quality and safety. Even so, you probably check the labels carefully on the perishable items, like, is this chicken close to its sell-by date? You don't get sell-by dates in standard food handling when you hunt for your own food, which is why Extension agents offer training in food safety for hunters. Let's hear about it from two guests. Karen Wheeler is the faculty coordinator for the Master Food Preservers Program in Jackson and Josephine counties through Southern Oregon Research and Extension Service. Extension Center. There we go. So, Rec, thanks so much for joining us, Karen Wheeler. Good to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Owings joins us as well. He is the program instructor with a new class coming up. Tim, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Good to have you both. So, well, let's start with you, Karen. I have to believe there are some universals in food storage that apply to hunting as well as to any preserving of food.
You know, our big saying that we remind people again and again and again is cold, dark, dry, right? If you want your food to last longer, you want the space to be cold, dark, and dry. And that's restoring your dry goods. That's restoring your refrigerated goods.
So obviously warmth and light and moisture are going to be the things that are working against any food product.
Yeah, that all helps degrade the quality and safety of food over time.
How much demand is there for this particular program, given that we hear the fairly steady decline in the numbers of people who do hunt?
It's been really fascinating. You know, we've seen a pretty solid attendance for our program, for this program here in Jackson County. It started here about 4 years ago. And we've been seeing folks asking for it all over the state. So we've been working with other counties to try to figure out the logistics of making this kind of programming available statewide. But it's a big question. And I think a lot of people learned how to hunt from their grandfathers or their grandmas. And, you know, what your grandma did doesn't necessarily work today. We know more, right? And so we're learning all the time. And so people are coming in and refreshing skills. It's good for hunters. It's good for small farm owners.
Have people learned some lessons the hard way about food handling? Is that part of the reason that people are seeking out a hunting food safety course?
Yeah. Early on in one of our classes, we heard a story of a guy who'd gone out and shot an elk, and then he drove to the butcher's and said, "Hey, there's an elk out in this field over yonder." And by the time he got to the butcher store, the animal was lost. So, you know, there's a big emphasis in the hunting community to be ethical and responsible about the animals that you're harvesting. And so to lose meat like that is really something they're trying to advocate and educate against, so people know what to do and how to get the most out of their hunt.
So in this example with the elk, he just didn't move fast enough. By the time anybody could have gotten back to butcher the meat, it was just too late to do anything about it.
Exactly.
So Tim Owings, let's talk about that. Talk to the non-hunters first. I mean, why do you have to, for example, begin the butchering process in the field and relatively quickly?
So the biggest thing, like Karen said, is to get it cool. The circulatory system in an animal works similar to the radiator in your car. When it's moving, it's pumping, it's moving that hot liquid. When you dispatch an animal, when you're hunting, if you're successful, that radiator stops. And now you have a great big blanket being the hide of the animal wrapped around a warm animal, and it's just going to continue to get warmer. And the longer it takes you to get the animal eviscerated and caped, the more heat it's going to build. So that time is critical. You can lose, depending on the temperature outside, you can lose an animal within a couple hours.
You said eviscerated, which we know what that means. Was caped the other term?
Yes, removing the hide.
Okay, I kind of figured it was something like that. So you got to work fast. How big a difference can the outside temperature make in what a hunter has to do and how soon to do it?
The outside temperature is critical. If it's the warmer it is, the faster the heat, and that the longer the heat in that animal is going to retain, the warmer it is outside.
All right, and then the warmth begins to get to what? You get the potential for decay and bacteria growth and things like that.
Right, because you're talking an animal, you're talking a lot of moisture. Animals are similar to humans. We're 60-70% water. So you got heat and moisture, and heat and moisture, we all know that's where bacteria and mold starts growing.
Mm-hmm. When you take an animal down, I mean, is the gutting pretty much right away?
Yes, it needs to be almost immediate.
Mm-hmm. And what are you taking out, and what are you taking with you?
You know, that depends. It depends on what you want to use. Mm-hmm. Almost all of the animal can be used. You know, if you have the time and the patience and the desire, you can retrieve the intestines and clean it and use it for sausage casing. You know, the heart, liver, of course, pretty much everybody that's been to the grocery store has seen those items. Those are edible. And, you know, it's really up to the individual and what their, you know, heritage and, I guess, ethics are as far as what they take.
All right, but if you don't have a great deal of time to do things like clean the intestines for a sausage, you're going to do a fairly major gutting in the field?
Yeah, you're probably going to leave that in the field.
We're talking about hunter food safety. I know this is going to trouble some of the vegetarians, but it helps keep people alive. Tim Owings is the program instructor with a class coming up this month, I believe. Karen Wheeler is the faculty coordinator for Master Food Preservers in Jackson and Josephine counties. You can join our conversation. Questions, comments, welcome on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tim, are there some food safety elements in just deciding which animal to take a shot at?
So we do have a volunteer from the ODFW that comes down and does go over some of the diseases that some of the animals, local animals, carry. Yes, there is. You want to look for a healthy animal. You want to look for an animal that appears to be, healthy, of good size, active. You don't want something, you're not looking for an animal that's emaciated or losing hair. That's definitely not something that you're going to want to dispatch and think that it's going to be good to eat.
Mm-hmm. Have there been times when you knew of people who shot animals and then got up close and went, oh boy, this is not what I thought I was getting?
I don't hear very much of that happening, not here locally. Our animals in Southern Oregon are pretty healthy. We don't have a lot of the diseases that are prevalent in the Midwest and the East Coast.
Like chronic wasting disease, for example, in deer?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That being the biggest one.
Yep. Okay, so we can kind of skip that whole section, but let me come back to Karen Wheeler and ask how long it took to develop curriculum for stuff like this. I mean, because you mentioned there's like long-standing knowledge of how to handle hunting in the field, but then you've got the more modern science of food handling, food safety, and I just wonder if there was a bit of work in developing the curriculum here.
So, you know, this class specifically is a really great showcase of the collaboration that we do. And so this is actually a partnership between the local Oregon Hunters Association and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so we have, with the Master Food Preserver Program, we have the expertise in, you know, pressure canning and dehydrating and making sausages and all of these awesome practices. But then we pull in the Department of Fish and Wildlife to talk about, you know, the diseases in the populations and kind of some of the things you might see that look concerning but aren't, like giant maggots and noses. Still safe. And then, you know, we have the Oregon Hunters Association that's able to talk about some of the more practical matters of local hunting licenses and transferring products from one person to the other. And so it was really a drive from the volunteers, because I am frequently the figurehead, but the volunteers have all of the knowledge. They are a brilliant group of folks, very dedicated to serving their community. And so they kind of brought this forward and said, this is what we want to do. You know, and the Oregon Hunters Association helped with some of the financing for some props, a table for the evisceration process and stuff like that. And so it went together fairly easily as far as some things. There were logistics questions, like how do you dispatch of an animal when there are no firearms allowed on OSU properties?
Oh, sure, right.
Yeah, you know, and so we had to work through some of those issues, but it went over fairly well. You know, I wanna just give credit to Lori Thompson, who's done a ton of work keeping this moving forward. She's one of our very engaged volunteers, and we've been really grateful to have her on board.
Has some of the interest in hunting food storage come about because of Oregon's law allowing the harvesting of roadkill deer?
You know, a lot of this predates that. Mm-hmm. I think last year we had someone with the sheriff's department who came and talked a little bit more about that law and how that would impact local access to meat products. But largely, you know, these are folks that are really interested in kind of taking back control of their food system and having the ability to provide for their families and themselves in a way that's ethical and sustainable.
We are talking about hunting food safety. It is a skill course taught by the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center based outside Medford. That's SOREC, where Karen Wheeler is the faculty coordinator for the Master Food Preservers Program in Jackson and Josephine counties. She's here in the studio with me. Tim Owings is the program instructor. If you have questions or comments, we can take them here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone, or you can send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Jim in Eugene, you're on the line. Welcome to the Exchange.
It's Ken, I think.
Okay, that's you.
Here's what my comment is about. When I hear, like your guest, him, or say that when you dispatch an animal, or you said take down an animal, mm-hmm. and I also hear harvesting animals, the more descriptive and straightforward thing is kill. And I just wonder why there's an avoidance of that term.
Okay.
So that's just a comment.
All right, fair question. Thanks for that, Ken. Appreciate it. Tim, is it just a euphemism that we're using here? I mean, I said take and you said dispatch, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a euphemism. We try to handle this class in a really professional manner, and we don't have just hunters that come to the class. We do, you know, with the insurgence of these small and the micro farms, we do usually have a few people every year that show up that have started their own, you know, farm, and they're not necessarily going out in the field and killing an animal. They're, you know, raising a pig or something at home, and they want to know, you know, okay, I've raised this animal, and now I want to be able to do all of this on my home, you know, myself, so I know what my food and my quality of my food is.
Hmm. Okay. So that, I would imagine that's been a bigger category all around, Karen Wheeler, for people who are getting into small farms.
Yeah. And you know, we do have the small farms program at SOREC, and so it's been a good partnership opportunity there. But, you know, if you're not able to attend the hunt to home, sometimes small farms has these kinds of classes, but really a lot of the small farms folks are showing up to the hunt to home class, and it is that sort of autonomy over your food system, you know, being able to control what is coming into your home.
For the off the farm stuff, then, Tim, is deer the generally the number one target?
Deer and elk are usually the most popular, the most questions that we get.
So let's talk about the deer and elk. So the ungulates. How much time do you have basically to get the deer from initial kill to getting stored in the fridge or freezer?
You know, ideally you would like to have it hanging in a cooler within the same day that you shot the animal.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, you don't want to wait to do the gutting. That has to happen really fast, right?
Yeah, if you can get the animal gutted and get the skin off of it immediately, your quality of your meat is going to go up substantially because you're allowing the animal to cool.
Okay. Then are there different methods for different animals that are brought in through hunt? I mean, different things you need to do out of the field once you start getting away from deer and elk?
Not necessarily. It still goes down to that, you know, get them clean, get the guts out of them, get them clean and get them cool. Even if you're, you know, even fishing, just fishing, you want to, if you catch a fish in the river, you want to have a cooler with ice where you can throw that fish on ice and keep it cool.
I'm glad you brought in fish because I was going to ask about that. That is something that I think you're going to get more people doing than hunting. But you know, there again, you want to get internal organs out pretty fast there too, don't you?
Yeah, or like I said, even getting them in a cooler on ice is going to help. A lot of people, you know, when they're fishing, they take a fish and they put it on a stringer and they throw it back in the water, and then that, you know, that fish is floating in that top couple inches of water, and the sun's acting like a magnifying glass on it, and it's not good.
Okay, so you definitely want to not do that. Okay, that's good to know. So no stringers with the fish in the top layer of water. Have the cooler handy. And then, Karen Wheeler, what do you find are some of the frequent missteps that people take in food safety? Where do they go wrong in wandering off the cold, dark, dry scheme?
I think the biggest thing is people thinking they can improve the quality of food through preservation. The best quality, your food is never going to be better than when you're putting it in the jar. So you want the best, highest quality of product that you can get. You don't want, when we're preserving fruits or vegetables, you don't want overripe fruit or overripe vegetables because it's only going to decline over time. One of the things we know is a lot of people will store their canned goods in their garage. And it's like, think about how your garage temperature fluctuates throughout the year. You know, that's going to impact the quality of the food, and even, you know, having your seals fail. So you now have, you know, say 40 pounds of tuna you put up and all of your seals fail. That's a very long time and expensive process that you went through to lose a bunch of food.
Now, what about if people store fruits, for example, underripe? I mean, will they get riper from being stored?
There are very few instances in canning where you want an underripe fruit. I can think of like mango, mm-hmm. right? Mango, you want to can underripe. But most of the time, yeah, you want your food to be at premium quality, at peak quality, like unstressed. So a lot of, you know, when we talk about squash and mm-hmm. tomatoes and stuff, pick them in the morning. Don't pick them in the afternoon because it changes the stress on the food, right?
Well, lots to consider here. Okay, so that's the fruits and vegetables part of thing. Tim Owings, of course, is the program instructor for the hunting Hunt to Home food safety course. Tim, when is the program? And people have to sign up in advance, don't they?
Yes, they can sign up. Karen can give the logistics on the signing up a little bit better than I can.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and call the Extension Center, 541-776-7371, and we can get you registered for the class. Pre-registration is highly encouraged. Mm-hmm. The class is on March 21st.
Okay, and we have to go. Karen Wheeler, thank you so much. And Tim Owings, good to hear from both of you. This is the Jefferson Exchange.